Oh my gosh. I'm starting to show before someone gets out of hand.
Yeah.
Who's the best show here? Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Pizza! Showtime!
Like an inch and a half long. Right. My wife doesn't care.
My fly is open.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
I'd like sweet on meat.
Were you making egg foo young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies that will link it bad. For the stream link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is linuxlink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1083 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show today, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Dave.
Hello.
And what else? I haven't done much at work except pushing out that patch process that to everything, and then doing the same thing to another application, but it has to be some different stuff. Anyway, nothing special there. Nothing special on the Linux. New release of Linux Mint recently, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was.
I don't know.
Yes, there was.
I saw that.
My son-in-law just recently became a full-time Linux user, and the distro he installed was Linux Mint, and he's already updated it.
Oh, well, good for him.
I know it.
Sweet. What changed him?
I don't know if the update path is there yet.
He said he did. I'm not sure. But he's a big gamer, and I think that the state of Linux gaming is sufficient enough that he could pull the switch.
Oh, so he's doing a lot of Steam gaming, I take it.
Yep, yep.
Good on him.
22.1. Well, that uses Proton, I think, in the background, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gaming, yeah. Oh, almost always.
Cool. You remember there was one picture that was on the old Tilts website. Either that one or Linux Link one of Dan with a full-on Amish beard in front of a Chiliware poster. Remember that? Chiliware, that was when they first did any kind of gaming on Linux.
I don't remember. Well, yeah, I do remember them.
Chiliware was the company we were trying to think of that had the biker.
They were well before Loki games, weren't they?
Wait, are you sure you're talking about Chiliware?
Yeah, Chiliware wasn't games, was it?
I thought Chiliware was the Apache project and a couple other things. There was a are you talking about the wasn't there a company that did not Loki. Well, Loki, yeah. Loki. Are you confusing Loki with Chiliware?
Loki was the Linux gaming company.
Maybe. I remember just a picture of you sitting in front of a poster that I thought was Chiliware. It was a long time ago.
No, I don't ever recall Loki being at any of the conventions, but I know Chiliware was.
Right.
Loki. I have to look for those pictures. Yeah, I remember. Did you have any Loki games?
I had a bunch of Loki games.
Yeah.
I remember going to Best Buy and seeing them on the shelf with the little Tux Penguin on the back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm trying to remember whether I got I think it was Quake 3?
Yeah, probably. I can't remember what Loki games I had. I can't remember the names of them.
Postal. I think Postal was one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That game was wrong. yeah. I guess they're not around anymore, are they?
No, I don't think so.
Postal 2 is still a thing, but
now, did you catch the Switch 2 trailer, Dan?
No, I didn't. The last press release was on 131.
Yeah.
02. Yeah, so Loki closes store on January 31st, 2002. Holy mackerel. But their website is still up. Good for them, though.
That's weird. They got their website up for this long. That Switch 2, though, that looks pretty awesome. It's bigger, and they have bigger Joy-Cons, so it won't feel...
Got two USB-C ports, too.
Yeah. One on the back, and then one on the bottom. Finally, that makes sense.
So that you can hook up peripherals while charging?
Or well, I'm thinking like that. Like the bottom port sucked if you wanted to set it on the stand and sit it on the table and charge it at the same freaking time. So now you can do that. Because it was right in the bottom of the screen, because that's where it goes in the dock. So, and they, instead of sliding in and out of the Switch, the Joy-Cons just click on each side. Actually, I think that's a brilliant way to go on that, because I've actually had not the unit itself, but the Joy-Con. I had the rail pulled out of the Joy-Con.
Yeah, I looked at the... looked at the review videos.
Right.
And I don't know about that connector. I understand why you might want to switch, but with that, looks like a flimsy piece of plastic sticking out that you slide things into and slide out. I have my concerns that that's going to break very easy.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder what it's like. Plus, it could be, well, it must not be too early, because they're saying they're going to have I don't know if it's a launch event or just special events all over the country where you can get hands on it for the first time.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to have crap tons of special events.
Right. And again, I think one of the launch games looks like Mario Kart 9. Finally.
Yeah. The only thing I find, other than, you know, those connectors for the Joy-Cons, the only other thing I find kind of concerning is the fact that they say that not all games from the Switch 1 are going to be compatible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's slightly worrying to me, but not too... I mean, I'm not too worried about it, you know, because I have a Switch, so...
Wait, you watched this, right? Both of you?
The video.
Whatever. Yeah.
I don't know if
I watched that video, but I watched a couple of different videos.
I did.
Can you reiterate what concerns you about the magnetic...
Oh, the Joy-Con. If you take a close look at the Joy-Con, I don't know if it was in the launch video. Like I said, I watched other review videos. It's showing a piece sticking out that you're sliding the Joy-Con into and out of.
Right. Yeah, and it's inset. It's kind of like a card edge that you might see like on the old cartridges and stuff.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm looking at it right now.
I don't know
myself.
How thick it is, though. I mean, it doesn't look very thick. A lot of those old cartridge-based, you know, games were like the Atari and the Nintendo's cartridges. Those kind of were, I would say they were at least, what, 1 or 2 millimeters thick, I think, at least? I don't know, but I think it could be fine. It just depends on how they build it. They'll probably do is those connectors might be just separate boards so that if you damage it, it should be fairly easy to replace. But I'm not too worried about stuff like that, you know. But
do you ever take a Joy-Con apart?
I don't want to.
It's a little bit of a pain in the ass, but
yeah,
because I've had to replace my joysticks on them. Because like a joystick replacement is like $5, and a new Joy-Con is like 40 bucks, and so
yeah,
because they have a drift problem.
I've never had that problem.
The analysis that I watched of the new Switch makes people think that it's a Hall effect. So,
what effect? I think it is Hall effect joystick,
which doesn't suffer from drift.
Right.
Huh. Well, that would be good. That would be nice. My concern about that magnetic interface is that how easy is that for it to pull off?
Yeah.
And then your switch goes crashing to the floor and a screen breaking. I mean, they got to have something, but it can't be too hard to pull off. Otherwise, you have another problem.
Yep. What some have said, I watched Linus did a video on it, and one of the things that he said, and I kind of agree with him, is why just this form factor? Why doesn't Nintendo just bring out something closer to a traditional console that just stays plugged into your TV, like an Xbox, a Series X, or something like that? I mean, I love the Switch form factor. I love taking it with me, but there are times I would just like to play on a TV,
Yeah, but, I'll admit that my Steam Deck spends most of its time hooked to a TV.
Right.
But it's nice to once in a while be able to, pick it up, move it around, play a game or something.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's like if I got like the Asus ROG Ally X or whatever, one of the PC-based things, I would probably use it as a PC, occasionally. Just plug it into a TV or a monitor and use it that way. It'd be a nice little machine to take with you, when you're traveling on a hotel, you can just plug it in there and use that to watch Netflix or whatever. But
so I guess it's got a little Joy-Con removal button. And I'm assuming that lifts up the magnet or something.
Some are also saying that it might, if you turn the Joy-Con on the side, that it might be able to act like a mouse.
Yes, I did see that.
Because I think Microsoft is rumored to be releasing games for the Switch 2. Like, one of the games really surprised me. Flight Simulator 2024, maybe. So, which is their latest version of Flight Sim.
I'm not surprised. If you keep an eye on Steam, a lot of the games that are coming out on Steam are also coming out on Nintendo Switch, but not on PlayStation or anything else. It's just
Halo on the Switch too, maybe.
Yeah, I would. There's some kind of path, I guess, maybe in some kind of development kit that is really, it's from Windows straight to Switch. There's something out there that does that everybody's using, because it seems to be fairly ubiquitous on a ton of games.
Yeah.
I don't know what deal Nintendo and Microsoft have going on there.
Ooh, that reminds me. You still need to buy the rest of the Atari 50 DLC.
So have you guys ever... Have you guys ever tried the knockoff controllers?
Yeah.
No.
Have they been successful for you?
On the Switch?
On any system.
Yeah, on PC all the time.
Because the ones that I've always ended up with for replacing PlayStation 3, 4 controllers, and I think old Nintendo ones, they never worked well. Some reason.
I use them on PC, so they're the USB,
right.
And I walk into Micro Center, and they got them for $5 over in the Arduino and Raspberry Pi section, and they're wired, but they work fine, and they're PlayStation style, usually.
Because the ones that I've gotten have been atrocious. On the PlayStation. I've never tried to use them on a PC. I have a gamepad and stuff, and that works just fine. But
yeah, I don't think I have it anymore, but at one point I had the one of the Logitech gamepads, USB ones, and I've tried that with various things. I think I used that on RetroPie, maybe. It worked, but...
Yeah, I haven't had a problem with Logitech. I'm not talking about Logitech. I'm talking about those, you can get a PlayStation controller for $70, or you can get a PlayStation controller for like $15, and a $15 one
like
may not
Mad
be wireless,
Cat.
And it fucking sucks anyway.
Like the modern day version of the Mad Cat controller for the Nintendo, yeah.
So I have not tried any knockoff Switch controllers. I just fixed mine, but they're damn expensive for how easily they. The ones that I've had have
one of these days. Drift. I need to get like the gray ones or something because I have the red and the orange or the blue and the orange ones. I don't like how those look, to be honest. That's just what came with my system when I bought it.
But are the games that come out for the Switch 2 going to be backwards compatible?
With the Switch 1? No.
I don't know. Like,
actually, no. I was wrong. Joy-Cons are $80.
Holy mackerel.
Now
I can only imagine how much these are going to be.
That's the original one. Now there's a knockoff for $45. Bocana wireless Switch controllers. I'm like, eh.
I don't
at least
know.
They're a color other than red and orange and I don't know. Is that red or orange? It looks orange to me.
Mine's red. I have red.
All right.
The original red and blue.
I just want to get gray ones. Ooh, pastel purple and green are like, there's our 83. And that's the other thing that just, you know, I don't understand, especially game controllers, it seems to be more common with this, but I've seen this with other things, especially on Amazon, where, you know, it's literally the same thing. It's just a different color, but
yeah,
they want to
yeah,
charge
yeah.
you more money. It's like for the
yeah.
different color. It's like,
technically, yeah, I guess that's.
Yeah, and their search algorithm is complete garbage.
Right.
I mean, there will be things there, and you'll be scrolling through the list trying to find the best value, and you can see that certain ones look exactly the same. They're just random different prices.
Right.
And then you'll go and tell it to sort by lowest to highest, and like half of the stuff will disappear and not be there anymore.
Right.
That's interesting. I've noticed that with PlayStation controllers that they'll be like, here's one for $50. Here's one for $79, and it's just a different color. And then there's one like that's like a cool camo for $110. And I'm like, really? Like just the color alone, you're charging another $40?
It's quite literally the same thing. It's like,
yeah. I don't care what color it is. Give me the cheapest one.
Exactly. I'm not buying it for the color.
Yeah, if I want to, I could put a, what do they call those? A sleeve or whatever the hell on it.
Right.
Change the color.
Get some D-brand skins. Or you get the Hori controllers for it. Now, those I tried. Hori, I've heard good things about the Hori controllers for Nintendo game systems. And they're a little bit bigger. They're a little wider than the standard Joy-Cons, which might fit my adult hands better.
Oh, you know what I did get? I forget what the name of the company is, but I got a USB adapter, a Bluetooth USB adapter, and I use my PlayStation controller on my Switch.
Interesting.
When I have it hooked to the TV. Because I got sick and tired of the drift problem, and I was like, let me try this. And
if you don't mind soldering, you can take one of your old ones with drift and remove the old joystick and replace it with a Hall Effects, and it won't drift anymore.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute.
It's like, I think it's like 4 solder joints.
So it has to have a whole new interface to that?
No.
Because you could just pop out the joystick part and put a new one in. It's like a module.
Is it? Okay. Well,
yeah.
You'd have to actually remove that from the board to put a Hall Effect on, because unless you got another module that had Hall Effect, then that would work.
So I'm wondering if they make a Hall.
They do.
I'm sure they do.
Just a
they
joystick?
They just charge their nose for it.
What's it called?
Gull Kits. Effect. Yeah.
How's that spelled?
Here, I'll put a link to one.
Hall EFF.
Okay.
There's plenty of them. You can get a set for 15. You can get a set for $15. And it doesn't look like it solders. It looks like a card edge connector.
Well, that's what he was saying. That it's just a
yeah, yeah. You just slide module. That ribbon, little rod, yeah,
little,
it's a
ribbon,
little
cable.
Ribbon cable off the actual joystick module itself. Huh. I should look into doing that.
Under $15 for a 2-pack.
Hall Effect joystick assembly for Xbox One, Series S, and X controller, $9.
And this one is
looks like the solder-on type.
That's nice. This one, yeah, joystick the Joy-Con. The only thing you have to be careful with on the Joy-Cons is the what is it? They have that.
Press in.
It's wire. The wireless connection or something. There's a ribbon cable that goes across the top that includes the remote connection. Is it Bluetooth or wireless on?
I want to say I thought it was Bluetooth in the wireless mode.
So whatever that is, that cable goes across the top that also has the connection for those buttons at the top, and it's really easy to break that cable.
Really easy to break any of those cables, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's such a pain in the butt to get the little springs back in there sometimes. But I've done it many times.
Sure makes replacing the plastic doohickey inside the old Atari joysticks look so much easier. Remember, you always used to snap the ring off the bottom of the inside of the part of the Atari joysticks?
I'm trying to think if I ever had that problem. I know I've taken the Atari joystick apart. It's been a long time.
Right.
After a while, the contact gets worn down and stuff, and it doesn't work as well.
Mm-hmm.
It plays that, too. Oh, those Atari joysticks. They went everywhere.
Yep.
For a while.
Still make them, too.
I think you could use the joystick on certain games, if I'm not mistaken. Same controller interface on the ColecoVision. So if you didn't need to use the gamepad... the number pad or whatever on the game, you could just...
When a ColecoVision had the add-on controller to the ColecoVision, it let you play Atari games, too.
Yeah, I remember that. I believe I had that, yeah. Man, but the Intellivision was the worst controller. Oh, my God, that was so bad.
It was horrid.
Ay, ay, ay.
Back in the day.
You know, I was in the tub today, Dave.
Huh? The tub outside?
Yeah. the indoor tub. I decided to be civilized today. And my so Avery likes to get the interestingly fragrant body wash and shampoo. Like right now she's got a sugar cookie.
Yeah, my
body wash.
Yeah,
you know, and I smell it, and it smells close to a sugar cookie. I see what they're going for. So I was, it brought a question to my mind, and I was like, who could I ask? Because I don't want to look it up. I'm lazy. Do I know a food scientist?
Yeah,
I know a food scientist. So I was thinking about you in the tub today, Dave. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So here's my question for you. Like, when, so I have vanilla scented beard oil. There's that sugar cookie stuff. My wife has had, she went through a strawberry phase a couple months ago where she had strawberry shampoo and stuff like that. And it smells really good. But it doesn't taste good at all, right? There's no hint of that flavor in the smell, in the taste when you compare to smell. So it got me thinking, right? Can two questions.
Okay.
And I believe this is probably related to food science, and you might have the answer. Can you have a flavor that doesn't have a fragrance? Like, I know that...
The answer to that is going to be no, because it's basically the same receptors for scent as it is for taste.
Yeah, he's right. It's a biology question, and it's basically no. I mean, there may be some that have way more flavor than they do fragrance, or vice versa, but...
But you can have fragrance without the flavor.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't remember if, tasting it.
I suppose if the food is dense enough that nothing actually gets away from it, then it wouldn't have a smell.
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, when I smell those soaps, for lack of a better word, or the beard oil, like, it smells delicious, doesn't taste anything like it smells, right? So is that because the chemical makeup overpowers any flavor that the fragrance...
The portion that gets released into the air is the portion that causes the scent. So there's more than just the portion that gets released.
Yeah. It, like, I'm thinking about it chemically. So if it's an oil,
right.
Maybe the vanilla flavor or something in your beard oil, an oil-soluble, an oil. It's going to be less volatile, so it's not going to just like jump out at you in the air. You're going to have to get up on it and smell it. But if it's in a food, you know, it's different at that point. It's not.
Sounds like you're really struggling to answer this question. But I'm not asking naturally. I'm asking, can you make a flavor that doesn't give off a fragrance? Like, I know it doesn't sound right, but can the taste buds be triggered by a flavor? No, it might not taste the same, but...
Technically, it's possible if the food is dense enough and solid enough that it's not releasing anything into the air for your nose to pick up.
Yeah, you may get a whiff while you're chewing it at that point. I think that's what I was trying to say about volatility. If the substance that it's in has a layer between it and the atmosphere that keeps the fragrance from wafting, for lack of a better term.
So
you're probably not going to smell it.
The reason why I'm asking is because, like, what was going through my mind is we have the shampoo, the soap, whatever. It smells delicious. Doesn't taste anything like it smells.
Okay, the portion.
Like, I can't get a hint like that. So then I was thinking.
Those are essential oils. And
okay.
They're more of a fragrance than a flavor. I mean, peppermint oil tastes like peppermint. But some oils aren't going to taste like they smell. They'll taste bitter.
But can you turn? Can you get the same thing without the bitter flavor? With just with no bitterness,
not by itself. I mean, they make things called flavor potentiators, and they mask bitter flavors. So there's things you can add to make a bitter flavor not noticeable. So
theoretically, you can smell the fragrance but not taste it.
With stuff like oils, and I mean, get down to the ingredient that is the flavor, or you know, then yes.
Because I'm wondering, can you make something that smells like, I don't know, a strawberry, but tastes like
a turd?
Not a turd, but I mean, like, can you get something that smells like a strawberry but tastes like? I'm trying to think of something that's the opposite. Tastes like tuna fish.
What's the opposite of a strawberry?
Like, tastes like tuna fish. Like, can you do that? Because I know, like, you could put,
yes,
like, all these crazy flavors on chips and stuff. Can you put something, if you put something that smells like one thing, but it when you eat it, it tastes completely different. And what does that do and to your
you're
senses?
Not, you're not going to like my example, but you know the
go
the
give
last,
me an example.
The last 25 years of my career, I formulated soft gel vitamins, and a lot of those were fish oils. And you'd add 2% oil soluble, up to 2% oil soluble lemon flavor to the fish oil. Now, if you tasted the fish oil, it still tasted like fish. It smelled a little bit less fishy and a slight amount of lemon, but that had to do with the amount of flavor you could put in by law. So, I mean, you could technically add enough and make fish oil smell like strawberries, but it's going to taste like fish oil. You'll still smell strawberry, but just smelling it, you're going to smell strawberry. But if you taste it, you're going to taste fish oil with some strawberry. So you can mask flavors with you can mask something's natural flavor with another flavor, but it depends on the level. I mean, if you can only put in 2% by law, then lemons, all it's going to do is keep you from having fishy burps. When it gets in your stomach and you digest it and the oil's in your stomach and you burp, you don't want to taste fish. So the lemon helped a little with that, but you still taste it. You still taste fish. I probably didn't answer your question now.
So no, that's a good point. So when you would eat that vitamin, would it taste like I don't know, lemon butterfish?
It would taste like gelatin unless you chewed it. And if you chew now the Japanese made chewable fish oils. Soft gels. They look like pillows.
Yuck.
They were gelatin and they were chewable. And they flavored it to the point that it tasted like bubble gum. But I think in Japan you could add more flavor. So you could chew a fish oil capsule and it tastes like butter gum, but bubble gum. But it's still fish oil.
Better than butt gum.
And highly refined fish oil has less flavors than the lesser stuff. But.
So when you did yours, when you put it in your mouth, you just had a. Did it have a lemon flavor to it when you put it in your mouth, or was that just smell?
We had some customers wanted lemon put in the gelatin itself, so maybe you could taste lemon, but that you really couldn't.
So you could only smell lemon?
No, not really. I mean, if you burp,
well,
you
where
might
did
not
lemon
smell fish.
Go then? It smells like lemon?
No, it just smells less like fish. You know, that's why people
put
lemon
go?
On. That's why people put lemon on their seafood, so it tastes less fishy. Not so it tastes like lemons.
You know what?
It's a flavor.
I just
basket.
Thought it. I thought it was just like for the tartness. Gave it some of that tartness there.
Maybe my taste buds aren't that good.
Mr. Lemon Tuna Mouth.
I love fish. I love the flavor. I love
I
fish.
Do too. I like
and
fish.
I love it with or without lemon. So
yeah.
I just like thought it was. Sauce. I didn't know if they were trying to mask the fish. Again, you take that lemon and get it out of here, Dave.
I'm assuming they're trying to mask fishiness with lemon. That's what we did in the nutraceutical industry. So I assume people did it when they ate seafood too.
You should have done strawberry too, and then you could have had the answer to my question.
We had a customer that's the reason I mentioned strawberry that flavored their fish oil with strawberry. That would smell the whole plant up. You could smell strawberry as soon as you walked in. But if you were, but you know, if you stood over that fish oil, it smelled like strawberry. But if you tasted it, it didn't really taste like strawberry. Tasted like fish oil with a little something extra in it. But to get back to your shampoo and beard oil question, those are essential oils that have an aroma, but not necessarily the same flavor.
Right.
So you can do it.
I think I don't know about can do it. There's naturally occurring things that smell. I remember in organic chemistry lab as a sophomore in college, we made some ethyl ester that synthesized it, but it smelled just like bananas. But it didn't, you weren't supposed to taste it, but it did not taste like bananas. But it was an artificial.
What did it taste
like? I don't know. But it was an artificial. It's what they make artificial banana fragrances with. Maybe it did taste like bananas, but I was under the impression that it did not taste like bananas. It just smelled like it.
It probably didn't taste like bananas.
Yeah.
People would be drinking it.
Yeah.
Bananas Gorilla. Remember Bananas Gorilla? You know who that's from? Dave, you should know.
No.
Is that Hanna-Barbera?
No.
Is it? It's not Bananas Squid.
I don't. I don't think it's from any. I don't know if they ever made this into a cartoon series. Maybe on PBS. I don't know. It's from a book, a series of books, children's books.
I don't know the books.
No, Richard Scarry books.
Okay, well, that was close. I mean, Scarry and yeah. Goosebumps.
Well, no, Richard Scarry was a guy's name. He did like they were just like.
Did he have a character every day, like a worm with a hat and wearing
yeah,
one boot?
Yeah, so they were just like people doing everyday things, but it was animals instead, yeah, dressed yeah, as yeah. people. And there was like yeah. the worm. The one guy's name was, he was a gorilla. His name was Bananas Gorilla.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved my Richard Scarry book.
We never had those.
You didn't have books?
No, we have books.
I think my sister got my grandson some of those for Christmas.
What kind of books did you have, Joel?
That's a good question. I know once I got to like young adult, I got really into the Choose Your Own Adventure books. I love those books because you could read it several times and it would be different depending on what choices you made.
I went through.
Oh, you just didn't save your place constantly and back up, and so you got the best ending.
Well, after a while, I figured that out. But you know,
yeah, that's the gimmick. Is at first you think you're not the one that's manipulating the book; it's manipulating you. But it's the other way around.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. With that, like, I remember one of them, what's it, Choose Your Own Adventure? One of them I had was like the main character was living on a space station, and everyone had to carry their pocket computers around there, and I thought, gee, that sounds like today.
Was that the Star Frontiers? One was it one of the early ones?
No,
because I know a lot of the original, like early Choose Your Own Adventures, were put out by TSR, weren't they? And
I think so.
There were a lot of Dungeons and Dragons,
yeah,
and Gamma World and Star Frontiers. There's a couple of Conan ones. I'm trying to think if I know those were the big ones that I recall from those role-playing games. Do you remember after the Choose Your Own Adventure, there was another one that came out with like they were more like role-playing where you rolled up a character and you would go through it like. It was like a Choose Your Own Adventure, but you had to fight things, and if you won, you went to one page. If you lost, you went to a different page.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, depending on your weight or height or things like that, they picked it for you.
Maybe some of those. Right. I only had a couple of them. They were fun for a couple of run-throughs.
And I also read some of the Tom Swift novels, which...
Yeah, I enjoyed some of those.
I did not realize until much later in life that Victor Appleton's not a real guy. It's just a pen name for a whole bunch of people who wrote Tom Swift ones.
Now, are you talking about the Tom Swift Choose Your Own Adventure or the Tom Swift novels?
Novels, the novels.
Okay, because I read the... mostly the Tom Swift Choose Your Own Adventure ones, and those were interesting.
I don't think I read any Tom Swift.
Tom Swift is good.
Yeah, they were very good.
Treasure Island sticks in my head as being a really good book I remember reading as a kid.
Dave, that's a different kind of book.
I know.
That's not.
I did the one I read for a little while.
I'm trying to remember the one that I probably still have it, but there was a Tom Swift one, and he was on he had his own spaceship called the Exeter. Trying to remember which one that was, and Yeah.
Looks like all of them he's in space. So doesn't he have his own space room in all of them?
A couple of them he's in, like, high school or I think it was all high school that I remembered. Not in space.
Right.
One of them was about him being in virtual reality.
Looks like there's one Tom Swift in his jet marine, so that's underwater, I guess.
How did I not read these books growing up? They look like something I would have been. You know what? I bet you I know why. Because they weren't D&D enough.
In the third series, that's the ones I read were in the third series of Tom Swift books. Because those were the ones out from 81 to 84. Yeah, the original series came out in like the 40s.
Okay. Bump, bump. Anyway.
Well, thank you, Dave.
I don't think I answered any questions.
You helped me. It's possible. You can make a flavorless wafer and then give it the flavor of a cheeseburger, but the smell of a, I don't know.
Yeah. If you try
an apple. Strawberry shortcake.
Yeah.
And that would be like a weird sensation, I think. Like if it smelled different than it tastes.
Like I saw.
Although I don't know how you could have it taste like a cheeseburger without smelling like a cheeseburger too.
It wasn't American ones, but I saw that they made a coffee flavored Doritos, and I thought, I don't know about that. I know I've had the
Lay's made, did a cappuccino.
Yeah, cappuccino one. That actually was disgusting. Not bad. It wasn't bad, but it didn't taste like cappuccino.
Did or didn't?
I don't think it did.
Oh, what did it taste like?
Weird. to me, it kind of tasted more chocolatey than it tasted like coffee.
Okay. Was that in Japan that they did that? With a Dorito?
I think so, yeah.
Well, keep it there. Unless Joe wants it.
No, I'm good. Been using my Ninja Creamy, though, and I made coffee-flavored ice cream.
Nice.
I haven't had that one yet, though.
The one bad thing about the Creamy is that you have to have sugar in it.
No. You can have erythritol in it instead.
Well, does that actually work with it, though?
Yeah. Worked with all the ones I've made so far, and I made couple of different peanut butter flavored ones and a really good strawberry flavored one with strawberries.
Okay. Now, if I got one, I don't know. I'd try making some of the different ones. Like, for me, it would be all about making stuff that I can't buy in the store, you know?
Well, for me, it's about making it lower calorie and higher in protein.
That too.
Well, I think the peanut butter ones I make come out to calories, but have 35-ish grams of protein. Pretty darn good.
So, guys, Joel's stamp of approval?
Sure. Got me another canister of the Nutter Butter protein. I love that one. That's my favorite one from Ghost.
I'm going to have to try out that one.
Dude, did you make that too, Dave? The Nut Butter protein?
Nutter Butter.
Oh, Nutter Butter. I'm sorry.
But you know, it's funny you mention that, but Cliff makes a nut butter bar. They do, actually. Just look it up. It's funny. And it tastes good, too.
Let me see. Cliff nut butter bar. It's tube-shaped.
Yeah, it's got, like, peanut butter, or, like, it might have, like, a hazelnut filling in the middle.
There we go.
That's not to be confused with nat butter.
Nad butter?
Nat. G-N-A-T.
What's nat butter?
Nat butter. What's that? Is that what you make when you swallow a gnat?
No, it's what gnats. I don't know a good way to say it. This guy I worked with, he would talk about
it. Okay, I guess we're taking the Urban Dictionary version of that.
It's what would attract gnats to like a groin region of a person that was outside sweating or something.
Well, according to Urban Dictionary, it's the goo on the end of a dog's penis after he has sex that swarm around.
Yeah,
did you write that one? Yeah.
Dave, did you write that one?
I didn't. I think he was asking you.
No. You did write Lemon Tuna Mouth.
Yeah, there's that in A-Bar and Crab Trap.
And Hoagie or Guy.
I don't remember what it was. Was it Crab Trap?
Boy, you were creative back then, man. Your Hoagie Guy one is hilarious.
Oh yeah, there it is. Josh Hallow is caught in Vince's Crab Trap.
Geo shitting.
Oh, is that in there still?
Is it
yes. Shock bag.
God, that is so like early 2000s because it's like
yeah,
using a GPS device to record the coordinates of where you take a shit. This can be combined with geocaching if you leave your shit behind.
Or pulling peas.
Oh god.
Oh my god.
I got a lot of it. Oh.
You are a sick individual, man.
He's not doing that much.
I've changed my ways, Dave. Yeah.
Yesterday, right?
I forgot I did any of this. That was some other person with my name.
That Hoagie Guy story, it's like I just remember you saying, go home and do that shit, man.
I posted that on 2009, January 13, 2009. Crab Trap was August 25th. Look at that. I have 8 things.
You're on a tear, man.
Geo Shitting was March 4th, 2010. Shock Bag was April 14th, 2015. That's not that long ago.
Doing the secret of Pinky Flick. Oh god!
Oh my god! I can't stop laughing.
Don't make me look it up.
Oh, that's so good.
Are you reading that, Dave?
Not yet.
You wait till you get the shock bag.
That one word or two.
The blooming onion. Pretty flower of feces. Oh god.
Oh my god. Man, I was on a roll in 2015. I have I have one, two in 2015.
Yeah, full of peas and lemon tuna mail.
Wait. Oh, I have a second page.
You can get oh, that's funny. You can get a lemon tuna mouth mug, or a Hoagie Guy mug.
I want the shock bag mug. Well, what's it look like?
You can make it whatever color you want, man.
Oh yeah.
Can you imagine, Dave, if on your birthday you got that mug?
That'd be a hell of a gag gift, man.
You're sitting there opening up all your presents and your family's like, oh, what's that mug say?
Shock bag. That was a different world, man.
Oh my goodness. Oh my god, I love the little like examples I came up with.
Yeah,
putting coworkers' names in there and stuff. Oh,
I guess they released the S25 series of phones, and they look just like the S24,
which was exactly the same size and the exact dimensions of the 23.
Yeah, the Ultra, of course, is the replacement for the Note still.
It's Galaxy S25 Ultra. It's only starting at $800.
I'm sure they have a bunch
damn
of them.
Damn expensive,
but,
too. Did they release a new Fold, too? Let me
I
look.
Thought they did that at the other part of the year.
That might be but this week would have been Samsung Unpacked. And I find it the funniest thing is one of the leaks I found for the iPhone 17 has a bar on the back just like the Pixel 9 has. Who's copying who, man?
Of course.
Samsung has to get in the act of the AI bullshit with Galaxy AI.
Everybody, didn't Apple have to pull their AI?
No, it's just they're releasing it very slowly. In fact, it's funny you mentioned that. One of the new AI features, the apps hit my Mac. I got Sequoia on my work laptop now, finally. And it installed Image Playground, which is actually pretty interesting because you can make yourself look like an animated cartoon or various other things. And you can do it with text or you can just start with an image, which is kind of cool. It's not groundbreaking shit.
Dan's done some of those.
Who? Oh, well, yeah.
I'll send you my coordinates, Dave.
I just remember riding up the elevator to probably Dan's room when he lets his big ass fart in the fucking elevator. I'm like, you asshole.
You know, I haven't been that gassy lately. Something's wrong.
Are you eating beans still?
Yeah, I had beans last night. I was a little gassy last night, too. But I eat beans like almost every day. I'm a bean eating motherfucker.
Yeah.
Sorry. Have you ever heard of putting a potato in your beans as you cook them? It's supposed to take the gas out of the beans.
Really?
Well, I just bullshit.
You know what I think?
Allegedly, but a friend of mine, he ate the potato and swears that it was the worst thing he'd ever done. and to right. Verify, you know, his suspicions, he did it again. He cooked another pot sometime later and with the potato in it and ate the potato. So evidently, there's some validity to that, that the potato absorbs some of the gas causing agents or whatever.
That's like my grandma on my dad's side. She used to put mustard seeds in her sauerkraut, and I'm like, why are you having these seeds in your sauerkraut, Grandma? Oh, it takes the farts out. I'm like,
did it?
I don't believe
no.
That. Yeah, because a mustard seed is very, very small, number one. Number
it
two,
probably
they're,
added
they're pretty
to
hard.
It.
Yeah, I don't think the shell is permeable at all. And I would think it would add, if anything. It would
yeah.
Mustard oil is potent anyway. That's what's in a mustard seed.
Yep.
And that's also the main agent in mustard gas. They're very potent, but I cannot imagine that something that small could absorb anything.
I mean, it didn't change the taste at all. I mean, I still freaking love sauerkraut, but
I do too. But what now? Did they didn't dissolve? Did they? I mean, were you?
Can, no. But they didn't you make just it. Ate them.
Yeah.
You just ate them. So I mean, and I guarantee you, it did not take the gas out because my dad, We made when I was younger. My dad was working for PennDOT. He'd get laid off every winter, unless it snowed. And then, of course, then there was the winter of 78, where we had the blizzard of 78. And Dad made out bank. That was a good Christmas year, man. Let me tell you. But we used to make sauerkraut at home. Dad would grow the cabbage in our yard. And then he'd make it in the basement of the one place, well, first place I remember living. Although I probably lived my mom and dad first got married, they lived in an apartment over my great grandpa Snyder's house in Vandergrift, and then eventually they moved up to the one I remember, which is one where we didn't have air conditioning in the house, but it was a big deal when Dad bought a window air conditioner. And let me tell you, that made a world of difference upstairs. But, you know, what's funny, though, is Vandergrift is a small town in western Pennsylvania. And for a long time, Google Maps didn't have a large part of it, like, with the street view. But they have street view for it now. And I was able to see that house one of the houses I grew up in there, and boy, it looks like shit right now. But let me tell you, and the real estate there is fairly damn cheap. I would go back there, but it's like, what's there anymore? Is there anybody I know that lives there anymore? Nope. That's also where we lived through a tornado. Me and my brother were outside playing down in one of the neighbor's houses. And the sky got real, real dark. Mom called us back in. And then and the sky started lightening up a little bit. So she let us go back out to play. And then it got real, real damn dark.
And a tornado hit.
She called us in. And like as soon as we got in, we started hearing debris flying down the street, and Mom had us run downstairs and go into the basement. And
like I said, that sounds like tornado weather.
Yep. I remember the neighbors, the roof for the neighbor's garage, like the entire roof landed in our backyard. And the house, it kind of hit the street above us. So our street was, other than debris from the other street, had nothing on it, but then the street above, you couldn't walk across it. There was so much crap in it from the tornado. So and there was one guy, we'd see him walking around the neighborhood, the town wino, the house that he was in, he happened to be in it. I think he died in that, because they picked up his house and slammed it back down on the foundation. So that was in fact, I actually found a book on Amazon that I bought for my Kindle about that particular storm. So, and that was when, I think it was the same day that a tornado wiped out Xenia, Ohio. So, you know, it was the same system or something like that. But let me tell you, if you ever, living through a tornado is kind of scary when you're a kid.
You know what? It would be scary when I'm 53 years old in a couple
I
of weeks
agree,
too. You know,
too.
So dude, I saw a dust devil while I was driving to my mother-in-law's in Chester. I saw a dust devil, and I was like, "Oh shit!" And it almost made me crap my pants. And I'm like, "Is that something? Is that starting up a tornado or something?" But no, it's just a little dust devil. You see those? You ever see a dust devil, Dave?
I have, but I've seen more tornadoes than I've seen dust devils.
I never saw a tornado, but I saw a dust devil.
Water spout.
I've seen a water spout, but, you know, not in South Carolina. It was in Florida. But
it was over the pond that he gets his catfish noodling done in. There was a water spout just hanging out. Jumped on it.
Is that one place where he goes dogging?
What dogging? What?
Raw dogging?
What, Dave goes dogging? Isn't that what he said?
I don't know if I said that. I don't even know what that is.
You don't know what dogging is? You should look that up.
I don't anybody on this show tells you to look something up.
Yeah.
I would not.
Makes sense to me.
I looked up
like blue waffle. Like, don't look up Blue Waffle.
Are you back on Urban Dictionary again?
No.
Should be, Dave. If you're looking up dogging.
There you go. I lived through Hurricane Gloria in the 80s. We were in high school. I think it was either high school or college. I'm trying to remember. No, it was high school. I remember now. Yeah, it was definitely high school. And we lived in the Philly area at the time. I went to Interboro High School, which was in Prospect Park, Pennsylvania, down on the not far from Chester. I remember at that time the local Philly station, and there were so many schools in the Philadelphia area, they couldn't call you out, the schools out in the radio by name. So they gave you a number. Each district had a number. So
they didn't use the ticker?
No. Well, this is radio. This is, you know, they didn't.
Oh, okay.
At the time, I don't remember if they put it on TV or not. They may have, but we always listen to KYW News Radio 1060. So they would call out on numbers. Mom didn't hear our numbers, so she's got one of my dad had the raincoats that he got from, because he worked on a construction site, so he always had, you know, a few raincoats in the closet. She threw one of those on me and sent me to the bus stop. I'm walking to the bus stop and rain, it is going sideways, all right, and I go out there, I stand for 5 minutes past the bus when the bus was supposed to go, and I walked home. I got in into the thing. I was still soaking wet even though I had a raincoat on. And I said, Mom, it ain't coming. I ain't going. And I went and I got new clothes on, and I think I played with my computer the rest of the day. Back when I had my first Atari 800 XL. Yeah, they ended up sending Dad home from work that day too, and I remember getting in the car with him, and we went over and got McDonald's in the storm.
What, tonight?
No, when I was in high school. When I was in high school, when the hurricane hit the Philly area.
You went to McDonald's?
Yep.
Was it good?
Probably. I don't even remember what I got back then.
Yeah. Cheeseburger and fries, same thing everybody got.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember when, if they had the one I always liked McDonald's made was the cheddar melt. And that, I haven't had one that, well, they have made that one in years. But of course then the McRib came back this holiday season for
every other week.
Yeah, limited time, you know. Of course, the last time they had it was supposed to be the last time they had it. Of course, that was wrong.
Until the next time they have it.
That's right.
Like Disney pulling old movies out of the vault.
Yeah, pretty much. I remember that. You know, it's
when
funny
they pull it out of the vault,
it.
That's when the McRib comes out, too.
Right. Yeah, I remember that one a lot there, Dave, because I remember I was working for Meyer at the time when VHS really hit. And, you know, every time I walk past that, it would say, hey, you better buy it now or it's going to go back in the vault. And it's like, yeah. And then the Blu-ray came out and you're like, oh, what the fuck? Or DVD, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm skipping DVDs. Of course, now you walk into a Best Buy or see Best Buy or what else, even Walmart. Well, Walmart is one of the only places I know of that has optical media anymore for movies. But Best Buy don't have it. Target don't have it.
Did you ever watch any Laserdisc movies?
Yeah.
Nope, we never had
way
one.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
That, was that shit was time. Expensive.
Yeah.
We was...
Oh, I didn't have one.
Middle class at the time.
Yeah, I had a cousin that was 6 or 8 years older than me. He was in college, and I was probably, hey, he had Star Wars on Laserdisc soon after it, you know, I it was the late 70s. So I
had a neighbor.
You see, there's an audio bookshelf update, Joe.
No, I didn't.
I just got it. I don't have audio bookshelf or Jellyfin installed with Docker. It's just on from their repos. But I got updates just now, both of those, Jellyfin and audio bookshelf. And speaking of Jellyfin, did you see the news about Plex and the HEVC H265 hardware encoding? Version is coming out.
No.
This week, allegedly, they'll add support for that.
No, that's kind of nice.
If you got a beefy enough computer, it is.
Right. Now, Wine 10 came out.
Yeah. Well, it's coming out. It is.
Oh,
is
did
it
you guys
yet?
See the interesting news with Bamboo?
I saw something, but didn't click on it. What was that?
Yeah. They're
closed source, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Well, they're locking out.
They're locking out every other applications and site, so you couldn't use Cura to slice your stuff and send it to your Bamboo printer. It has to go through their servers. Essentially, they were making it so that your printer needed to be connected to the internet, needed to be connected to their servers, and it felt like they were gearing up towards making the 3D printer you paid for a monthly service subscription on top of it.
Yeah, that sucks right there.
But you could still, I think you could still slice it with Cura. You just have to bring it on with like a SD card or a USB drive, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, and they tried to go back on what they were saying a couple of times, but, people had screenshots and things of what was actually on their website, so.
Yeah, so news there.
So Wine 10 is going to, Wine is not an emulator, They're gonna make it able so you can run 64-bit x86 apps on ARM systems. They'll say take advantage of ARM64EC support to run all the Wine code as native, with only applications x86-64 code requiring emulation.
Now, isn't Proton just another front end for Wine? Or another extension of Wine?
That's a question.
Yeah, that is a question.
Yeah. A good question. It includes more accurate high DPI support. XLM backend supports Vulkan child window rendering for apps. Brings parity with OpenGL, which has supported 3D rendering in a child window in early builds. Vulkan drivers bump the version 1.4.303. Desktop changes improve Wayland driver with OpenGL support. Well, I guess that's a good thing, considering so many distributions are going to Wayland.
I saw the Arch user survey results came out today or something, and I clicked on it, and the only thing that jumped out at me is 20%. I think they had over 3,200 users took the survey. I think 80% of the users are using Wayland and 20% are still on X11. I found that surprising, but.
Well, yeah, I don't think Wayland's the default though on Ubuntu now, I think.
A lot of things are switching to Wayland as the default. It's actually much less common now for X11 to be the default. And because X Wayland is improving, you just notice it less. I think even, not this release, but I think the next release, Mint is supposed to be switching.
Okay.
I'll switch when I'm made to switch, I guess.
I've had bad experiences with Mumble on Wayland machines. That's why I'm trying to think if I'm on Wayland or not. I'm on Manjaro.
It's the default in Raspberry Pi OS too. I mean, I remember specifically disabling that.
Yeah. I hadn't had a chance to try it. I got better Chrome with the Pi apps. I have not tried Netflix on it yet because it's supposed to support Widevine on it. So those encrypted streaming services I might be able to get working.
No, I've been working on all of them for a while if you do the right things, and that was basically download a specific browser. So
right. Yeah, because I know default Chromium that's in the repos doesn't work with. I just haven't had a chance to try. I've been so damn busy with work. Ugh. Work in my system analysis class.
Well, I don't know what possessed me, but I did a update to my website, my blog, for the first time in 40 months.
Holy crap!
Yeah, and before I did it, I thought, well, if I'm gonna do this, I need to update Jekyll first. So, updated Jekyll, and then I decided I was gonna try to use the dark mode, which means I had to use a development version of Jekyll. All that went well. And I did a post, but then I got this bash script that takes my post and posts it on my Gemini server and my Gopher server, and I hadn't been touched in 40 months either, and they were broken, and I had to fix those, but I got all of those working again, so I was happy with the win there that after 40 months I was able to get all that working again. But
good for you, Dave.
I know it.
Having a grand old time with that.
Yeah, it's not the development version of Jekyll. I mean, it's the I guess it's the Minima Gem, which is the default theme for Jekyll. I'm using version 3 now, which does the dark mode. But the only thing that's broke on it right now, and I could verify this by going back to version 2.52 of the Minima theme, is embedded audio players don't work anymore. And I don't know why. Hadn't figured that out yet.
Wait, what's not working anymore?
The embedded audio player, like on my modcast page, which is, I've got this.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got an embedded audio player there. And before I upgraded Minima, the Jekyll theme, that was working just fine. After I upgraded, the embedded player's there. If you press play, nothing happens. But if you take the, you know, if you look at the stream URL and just open it in another tab, it opens up an embedded player and plays it just fine. It just won't play it from that page. And I've monkeyed around with it, the include feature where you can include HTML from an include file, and that didn't work. I mean, it worked, but it still won't play. I think I hadn't figured it out yet. It's a weird one.
Is it in a log file somewhere why it won't play?
I've not looked there yet.
That's what the log files are for, Dave.
I know it. I've never looked at a Jekyll log file. I don't know if there is one, but maybe there is. But I like Jekyll. Jekyll's cool.
How long have you been using it?
5 years, but I've not used it in 40 months.
How do you know it didn't break like 3 years ago?
Well, I mean, it could have. I don't know. I mean, it's not much to break, really. I mean, there is or it. Yeah, there's a lot to break, actually.
I wonder if some update slapped in, like, some requirement that you have to do to get the embed working properly.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can get the player to come up. It's weird because, like I said, if I right click on the player and copy the stream URL and just open another tab with it, I get an embedded player in that window and it plays just fine. And you can, when you build a Jekyll site, you can build it locally first and look at it. So look at it, plays fine there, but as soon as I deploy it, it doesn't work anymore. Not a big deal, then. Just an aggravation.
Joel, did you talk about your rocket book?
Yeah. Well, I was at Sam's. Yeah, I was at Sam's the other day, and I picked up one of those rocket books. So, what's a rocket book?
Yeah, well, what is a rocket book? That's not like the rocket notebook or whatever that was.
Yeah, actually, it is exactly. Is like, it? It's what it is. Yeah, it's this is the fusion version of that. It basically it's a reusable notebook. You can write what you want on it. You can fire up the rocket book app, and then you could scan it into your phone.
Do I have one of those? Wait, why is it $50?
And then you can wipe it off. It wasn't $50. I think I paid $25.
Okay, so. Okay.
Wait. This is like e-paper?
I've been doing like writing style things like that for a long time. Like I had a boogie board at one point. I had a live, actually still have a LiveScribe 3 pen. I hardly use it. Like those are kind of cool.
I've seen these, yeah.
But the Rocketbook, so you know, they're nice and simple, and you don't even need to understand things. And you can mark things like on like where you wanted to go. You know, so like say if you wanted to upload to Gmail, you can do that, or to Google Drive, you can do that. You know, when you scan it. I thought you were supposed to be able to do like if you wrote words, it's supposed to be able to like figure out what you wrote and give it to you in text. But I haven't played around with it enough yet. And you can do things like calendars and stuff like that. But I just like the fact that like I can take a pen and this thing, write down like say a packing list or something and scan it into my phone. That way, I have my packing list with me if I'm packing stuff. Now, granted. I don't know if I'll ever use it for that because when I'm like packing for a vacation or trip or something, I do build lists when I do that just so I make sure I have everything I need. And I do that with Google Keep right now. So because it's the nice thing about Google Keep is you can do check boxes and stuff. You can check off things as you put them in your bag. But I suppose you can do that with this, but. I like fiddling with it. It's one of those nifty things that I'll play around with for a little while. I won't say I'll stick it in a drawer because I'll probably use this a little more often. It's sitting on my desk right now, and if I need to take notes when I'm in a call or something, and I can't take it using Notepad or something, I could do that. Excuse me.
So it doesn't send it anywhere. I mean you take a picture.
Oh, it can. No, it can. Yeah, it can send it like to your Google Drive or Box, or let's see what other ones I got. We fired up the app.
But it's your phone that does it. I mean, you're taking a picture of it. Okay.
Via the app, though, it's not like you don't use you use the app instead of that. So, and like here, I got notes I took, and in the app, and I can hit that, and I can say share, and then I can like share it to Facebook or to whatever, or to Gmail, whatever. But you can also choose destinations, so like. My destinations are, I have like my email address for the first one, Google Drive, my wife, Todoist. You can have it go in the Todoist.com. That's an app you can do. And it all depends on like what I think you circle or do something to a character on the paper and it'll automatically do that. But it's nice. The nice thing I like about it is you just take, they give you a little, like a microfiber cloth. You just wet it a little bit and you can just wipe the writing right off of it. Or I think you can also do, the other side of the pen also seems to have like a eraser. Kind of, makes me feel a little bit like the old, erasable pens that we had when we were kids. But it doesn't leave that residue. You know, it just rubs it right off.
Does what?
Rubs the ink right off the paper. Yeah.
Oh, where did you get it?
Sam's Club's where I got it.
Okay. Do they sell these at Walmart? I think
they buy them.
But you like it?
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't used it as much as I thought I would, because I also have like an iPad with the Apple Pencil, so which of course I don't use the Apple Pencil as much as I thought I would, because the most common thing I do with my iPad is watch shit on YouTube.
I carry a notebook. I mean, it's a paper notebook. I've carried a notebook for years. I mean, I carried one in high school, a pocket notebook, and this is a little intriguing, but I don't know. Not as newfangled as Wayland, but it's pretty newfangled.
Trying to update Chrome on my Manjaro system, because I'm out of date right now. It's telling me target not found.
Damn, it's 10 o'clock already.
Time flies when you're having fun and talking about lemon tuna mouth.
Oh, man, maybe that's your idea of fun.
Nope.
Dave made a vitamin that goes, tasted like that.
That goes back to the images you made of poor Peg Wall, man.
That was awful.
Who would they have the football helmet on?
No, that was a picture 330 sent me.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, that was undoctored.
Undoctored? Are you sure about that?
No, that was he had Pegwell put on the helmet, and then he took that picture.
Pegwell would have done it too.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
He did. He did it. He did. That was not a the goatee with Pegwell's face in it.
Right.
That was not right, Dave. Why would you do stuff like that?
Damn.
I wonder if they're still up there. I don't know. Yeah. I'll look.
And then see, there was the other shock ones. There was Goatsea and Lemon Party and what's the one with the You Spin Me Right Round? I can't remember what that one was.
Beat Spin.
Meat Spin, that's it. Meat Spin. You would remember that, Dave.
That's hard. That just burned into it, you know, burned into you.
Just can't like when you, just like when you like to know.
Yeah.
Udoba. we're old.
I should get the forum working again.
The forum?
The forum, yeah, it's been so long.
What did it, was it PBBS?
PHPBB.
That's a PHPBB. That's right, I was trying to remember what it was.
Invite the SuperNets guys over.
Yeah, why not, huh?
Right?
Oh,
nice. Well, I gotta figure out why the hell Chrome won't update on my Manjaro system, huh?
Well, no, that's not the right one.
Palm Mac build Google Chrome, and it don't work.
You see the Dilo web browser came out with a Dilo? New version? Yeah, Dilo on their 25th anniversary.
I think I only ever used that when I was using what was the for one of the first
Puppy Linux.
Yeah, Puppy or one of the other ones had it too.
My last version of PHP BB was November last year, Dan.
Huh.
3.3.14.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Trying to see, looking through all my old stuff to see if I still have. Huh. Let's go in there. Let's go in
all
there,
those
Dave.
Backups.
And it's got to be in here somewhere. Oh my God, look at all this stuff in here. Wow. New site, old site, mail, slideshow. Oh, wow, holy mackerel. Is, I forgot about that. You know what? This must... why don't I have it anywhere? It's somewhere. It's somewhere around here. This is really old stuff. CFK. Computers for Kids. What's that? Oh, my goodness.
What was the name of that green laptop they made for kids? Green and white.
OLPC.
Yeah. Was that one laptop per child or something?
Yeah. The G Compress on it.
Yep. All right, I'm gonna play this out. Thank All you, right. everybody. Well, I look at this. Here we go.
I am short.
Oh my God! It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Mm, yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Yeah. What happened to Lemon Tuna Mel? Where did it go, Dave? It's got to be
so. Did you look up dogging?
I did, but there were like six pages. I didn't know which one it was.
All of them. Oh. I don't know. Why do I have that there? I don't know. Right, Dave?
I guess.
Mm-hmm. What's on the old disk? Nothing. What's on the backup? Stuff I should be doing on a regular basis? All right. Getting out of here now. Getting out of this.
I'm
going to stop this record and put it together. But you're always open for business at the Dave Yates Daycare Center, right?
I was today, yeah. I'm off Friday, though.
You're off Friday? What's going on?
What's my day off? I get 3 4-day weeks a month.
And then 1 5-day week?
Yeah. Yep. My son-in-law works 4/10s, but they rotate.
Oh.
So he takes three of the weeks he spends with his son, and one he takes for himself. So.
How are you doing, Joel? There you go. That's the way to do it. So who? Yeah. So he takes it.
Happy Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. So what? Who spends that time with you then, Dave? You all alone?
Oh, my wife works from home, and and she's gonna be retiring probably in May. She's got a bad shoulder. She had a strep infection with no point of entry in her shoulder about 10 years ago, and the doctor said he could write it up in a medical journal because it doesn't know how it got there. But anyway, it ate all the cartilage out of her shoulder. It's bone on bone, and she's got very limited mobility with her right arm. So she's going to get her shoulder. She got a doctor's appointment in February. And as soon as she can get it replaced, she's going to use her sick leave. And then when that's over with, she's going to retire. But her idea of retirement is getting a part-time job. So she'll be home more.
Retirement.
Yeah.
Not my idea.
Mine neither.
I mean, I'd love to retire now.
You just gotta keep yourself busy.
I mean, I'm working.
Hey,
I mean, technically,
I got stuff to keep busy. I was gonna say, I got stuff to keep busy. More trail time, more getting out there and exercising. I'm burning about 500 in exercise a day.
Exercise deviates his mouth.
557 calories today.
Good for you.
It's been too cold to really get a good workout in here.
Well, and I don't want to fucking hear about it. It was -9 this morning.
Yeah, but you go to a gym. I work out in my garage.
True, but
you have your air conditioned heat.
I've been doing 12. Well, since the start of the year, my daily step goal is 12,000. So, and I've hit that every day this month, easy. I'm over 120 meeting the step goal. Now, the step goal changes a little bit because it started off at 10, then I upped it 1,000, and then I upped it another 1,000. So, 12 is probably a good, comfortable one that I can hit every time. At least now. Now, it'll get easier when it gets warmer out because then I can finish off the day outside or going over down the trail or something, you know. But now it's fucking cold. Well, actually, it's actually warmer than it's been in the last 2 days this evening so far. And we're supposed to get some more weather above freezing soon. Hopefully melt more of this dang snow. Let's go, man.
Oh, you're ready now? All right.
Well.
I was waiting for Dave.
Wait for Dave to get the...
David. That's our intro, David. I should tell Pegwall to come on here.
Yes.
I'm excited to march. I'm probably going to go down to Cincinnati and go to Jungle Jim's International Market. Foodie paradise, man.
Yep. Right, Dave?
That's right. Woohoo!
Yeah, all right. No. Oh my God. Almost got it wrong. What episode is this?
1083.
You are right, sir. Good for you. You prepared that from last week. You wrote it down, didn't you?
I sure did.
You got a little notepad next to your
Vim.
Yeah, Vim. There you go. Not Nano, right?
No, I'm updating it now. That way I know what it is.
Hey, I do have something I could talk about. It. You know what I picked up a week or two ago?
You going to talk about it now?
No, we didn't start the show yet. I'll say it, then I'll talk about more about it, the details. But I got a rocket book.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep. I just ain't figured out how to do the text to speech on, or the text recognition on it.
Dave got a pocket rocket.
Aha. Uh-huh.
He's firing it off right now.
Well, where's he put it in his asshole?
That's
the only place you could.
Is that where it goes, Dave? I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your wife might.